Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, it's another one of those beautiful, gorgeous afternoons in New York City.
Spring!
It feels like it, doesn't it? It's so nice outside that if you have tickets to go to Yankees opening day, or you have tickets to go to Mets opening day, would you not sign for this?
100%.
That's all you need to know.
Right, it's chilly enough so it doesn't feel like it's summer. There's a little breeze.
Yeah.
But the sun is warm.
Oh, yeah.
Just invites you to want to be outside.
Yeah.
Drink some beer.
Yeah.
Cheer for home runs.
Damn right. We got another month, but hopefully we'll get this weather at Yankee Stadium and a week later at Citi Field. Welcome to the show, though. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. We got a lot to talk about. Sean McVay told us the damn truth about Matthew Stafford. We'll play a brand new game of How Much Does Tiki Know About Tiki? Plus, we'll mix in some baseball on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. But at the NFL Combine, there's a whisper and there's a loud noise. And the whisper and the loud noise are around one of the football teams in our town, the New York Football Giants. The loud noise is Matthew Stafford. The loud noise, the banging sound that you hear is Matthew Stafford. He's available. Teams are interested. The Giants are one of them. And we've had discourse on this over the last couple of days. That's the loud banging sound. And we will discuss it. And then there's the whisper. And the whisper is something that always made sense. The whisper is something that when you really squint your eyes and look at it, it probably makes even more sense than Matthew Stafford. And that whisper is starting to get a little bit louder.
Mm-hmm.
And that whisper is Aaron Rodgers and the New York Giants. Mike Florio reported earlier today, there's a whisper at the Combine that Aaron Rodgers is reaching out to the New York Football Giants. So I'm here to tell you that when you factor in the money, when you factor in the draft capital, and those two things are really, really important, I don't think it's nuts to say Aaron Rodgers makes more sense for the Giants than Matthew Stafford
does.
Yeah,
it's not going to cost you draft capital. He's going to be released. It is not going to cost you a ridiculous amount of money, not $50 million plus like Matt Stafford, because he's going to be playing, not on a league, he's going to be playing close to it for a quarterback, that is. And he's got something to prove.
Yeah.
Now, Matt Stafford does as well because he's not over the hill. He's 37 years old. He's got a Super Bowl championship. He's trying to build upon a borderline Hall of Fame resume. But Aaron Rodgers is starting to look like nobody wants him.
Mm.
Like, he's not, persona non grata. It's not like he's been ostracized or blacklisted from the NFL. But when you look at most of the teams that are in the quarterback, shopping mart right now, they're looking elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not looking at Aaron Rodgers, or they already have their guy already. There are maybe two teams that Aaron Rodgers makes sense for right now. The Giants are one of them, and the Raiders are the other one.
Mm.
I don't know who else looks at Aaron Rodgers and says, this is the kind of player that we need right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for most teams because most teams aren't in a win-now type of situations. And the only reason I say the Las Vegas Raiders is because Pete Carroll's 74 years old.
Right, right.
And so they got to win.
Yeah, I think the Giants, and the first thing we need to do, because I think this is the disagreement a lot of us have concerning Stafford, or in this case, Rodgers, or drafting a quarterback, is we need to identify the vision for the New York Giants at the quarterback position. And I will give you my vision. I think my vision is very, very straightforward, whether you agree with it or not. And that is, I need to find my future quarterback while also trying to win right now.
Yes.
That seems like a very weird balance to do, but that's the balance I would try to do. I think that's the position the franchise is in when you have an owner in John Mara who said it after the season was over, I better feel better a year from now. Well, you feel better with two things. One of which is just winning games, simple as that. And the other thing that makes you feel better is feeling like you've got this long-term plan at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
My issues with Matthew Stafford is not about him as a player. It's about, okay, well, what's the vision? He's good, but he's 37 years old with an injury history. Like, if I bring him in and I invest the money it's going to take to sign him and the draft capital it's going to take to acquire him, then I am just hitching my wagon to Stafford for probably the next 2 to 3 years without a succinct plan on what happens next. That's my scared kind of, yeah, I get it, but I don't love it. Because then what happens when it's over? What's my plan after that? The beauty of a guy like Aaron Rodgers is that I'm still drafting a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still being real aggressive at potentially trading up to make sure I get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, whichever you prefer. I so far prefer Cam Ward, I'll be honest with you. And so I try to win right now with a veteran with a clear plan, a succession plan,
mm-hmm.
to find my future. And that's why I love the idea of Rodgers. It has nothing to do with his time with the Jets. It has nothing to do with Alawaska. How do you say it again?
Ayahuasca.
It has to do with he's my bridge to my future.
Right.
While Matthew Stafford is a bridge to nothing.
Right. Don't you kind of just don't say the H, but it is kind of like you're saying the H.
So you're saying Tommy was wrong?
I think it's ayahuasca.
If you confidently...
But it's you think saying the H, but you don't say the H.
You know why I believe Tommy? He was so confident when he turned that mic on. And so there's no way he confidently said something incorrect.
Yeah, ayahuasca.
Have you had this ayahuasca?
No, I never heard of it till Rogers.
He taught it to you?
I have had hookah, which I know we've been discussing a lot today because of Luka Doncic. But no, I've not had ayahuasca.
Luka in the hookah lounge.
Not ayahuasca.
Okay, so what is it?
Ayahuasca.
So Luigi's wrong?
I was right.
No, yeah. You said shka. Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Okay, so, whatever. So he's wrong, Tommy.
Tommy's wrong.
Okay.
Well, we were all wrong.
Drugs. Let's call them drugs.
You in here for some marijuana?
I'm bling bling for some...
bottom line is this. Aaron Rodgers really does make the most sense. Well, he's a bridge to something as opposed to Stafford, who's just a bridge to himself.
Well, I mean, the injury history on Matt Stafford is relatively recent. It's not like it's his whole career, but it's a little troubling.
And he's 37.
He's 37. He had a UCL injury 2 seasons ago. Then he had a thumb injury. So it's just, when you get older, you get banged up more. It's just wear and tear.
Of course.
The hits, you don't just recover from them. They could be, you know, lingering and lasting. And so you worry about that, but I'm not overly worried about that with Matt Stafford. And if you go the Matt Stafford route, I'm laying out both of them now, Matt Stafford route versus the Aaron Rodgers route, you're looking to win now and win sustainingly for the next 2 or 3, maybe 4 years, right? So if he plays until he's 41, he looks in pretty good physical health. Otherwise, you think he can play until he's into his 40s. Now, does he want to do that? I don't know. That's part of the conversation. But he does want to get paid. And he probably is looking for a 3-year contract. And if you win in the subsequent 3 years and you're the New York Giants, it would be worth it, right? Matt Stafford wins you 9 games because that's what we said the bottom line was. You got to have a winning season if you go get Matt Stafford. Really, they got to have a winning season regardless. But Matt Stafford gives you 9 wins. You're comfortable. The next season, you get 11, 12 wins. You're in the playoffs and you're doing something. And then his final year, who knows what happens, right? That's ideal for Matt Stafford. Is it guaranteed? Of course not. But none of this is guaranteed. The difference with Aaron Rodgers is unlike the bill of goods that tried to get sold for Aaron Rodgers. Hey, we're going to bring him here. We're winning the Super Bowl, and he's going to help Zach Wilson become a star. So when he leaves, you're set up. That was never reality. Because, one, I don't think Zach had that ability. But, two, Aaron Rodgers didn't really want to do that.
At that point in his career, absolutely not.
It's not what his mindset was. But now, if you look at Aaron Rodgers at 41, the only reason he wants to play is because he doesn't want to go out the way that he went out. He doesn't want to go out getting fired by a teenager, as he said a couple weeks back in the middle of the season. Well, it's not really the case, really. Aaron Glenn didn't want him.
I think he was more referring to Brick Johnson when he said that.
But he doesn't want to go out this way.
Right.
So if he can get an opportunity to help the Giants become a winner and then say, I'm leaving on my own terms, that's fantastic. And obviously he's not going to mind that there's a quarterback right behind him looking to take his job because he knows he can't play much more than
And that's
year, so.
Why he's more appealing. Because like if all things were equal, then and you asked me, hey, who gives me a better chance to win, 37-year-old Matthew Stafford or 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers? My answer would be Matthew Stafford. I'm not arguing that. But where the Giants are in their history, where they are in their franchise, when you factor in what you have to give up to get each player financially and pick-wise, that's where Aaron Rodgers is more appealing, because I think the Giants are in a spot. Once John Mara opened his mouth at the end of the season and talked about, hey, I better be in a better mood a year from now, I took that as I got to see wins and I got to see a future.
Right.
That's what I need. And by the way, as a sports fan, that's what I want. I want those two things. I want to win, of course, but I also want to see what the long-term plan is. And I think if you sign Aaron Rodgers for very little amount of money without giving up draft capital, that does not change your aggressiveness in terms of drafting your future quarterback.
Your draft is exactly as you want it to be, regardless of quarterback.
1,000%. And also, it remains open the possibility, depending on how the season goes, that week 8, week 9 comes around and you make a quarterback change.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I didn't think about this until just now. Let's say you don't love Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward's gone because the Tennessee Titans are going to take him. You're not stuck having to draft a quarterback.
Right.
Now, you could take the Jackson Darts or the Quinn Ewers or whoever in the second or third round, but you're not desperate for your future quarterback if Aaron Rodgers is here.
Right.
Because you know you at least got a year of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And so if it all goes to crap and the coaching staff gets fired, Aaron Rodgers retires, new regime, you got a new opportunity next year.
It's a completely fresh start.
Yes.
That is not the case with Stafford.
No, it's not.
It's not the case because, A, you're giving up a valuable pick. Now, we'll all agree, if it comes down to giving up a first, it's not going to happen. The Giants are not giving up the third overall pick.
Nope.
And if another team is willing to give up a late first-round pick, well, then the Giants just lose the competition. It is what it is. But they may have to give up a second. Or they may have to give up a third. And then, on top of that, they're going to have to give Stafford over $50 million a season. And when you do all that, there's no way you're drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
There's no way you're benching him week 9 or week 10. So understand, this isn't strictly who's better, who would you rather have. It's all the other little things that make the appeal of a bridge like Rodgers to me much more appealing than Matthew Stafford.
This is what makes being a GM fun.
Is this the fun part?
Yeah, it's the fun part. Because you get to make a definitive statement.
Yes.
Right? It's not as if you are wishy-washy and, well, maybe we're going to do this and we're going to half-ass this and blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to make a definitive statement. And it could cost you your job, but that's what you have the job for.
Well, I'll tell you this.
To be bold. You have to be bold.
I tell you this right now. Whatever decision Joe Shane makes, and I'm giving you my opinion on what I would do, whatever Joe Shane decides to do, I can give you this spoiler alert. That decision is going to determine if he's here next year or the year after that.
Yeah, the success of it or failure of it.
Absolutely.
100%.
And he knows it. He absolutely knows it. So if you want to go desperate and not think about 3 years from now, screw it, go trade for Matthew Stafford. He gives you the best chance to win, whatever. Mm-hmm. But as a fan, and I am a fan, may not be a fan of the Giants, but I'm a fan of a lot of teams around here, I want both. I want to win, but I also need a clear plan for the future. And the problem with Stafford is there is no clear plan for the future.
Yes, there is. It's 3 years of winning.
Of a guy who's 37. I'm married to him.
But
you're marrying Stafford.
But I trust that if that's the best option. So if you go do your work on Aaron Rodgers and you're just like, ugh, it just doesn't. I agree with Aaron Glenn.
That he's just done.
He's just done.
Mm-hmm.
Or Shedeur Sanders he's got bust potential around him. And Cam Ward's not going to be available unless we trade up into the number one overall pick. And whatever red flag there is about him, you're just not set. Matt Stafford is a winner. And you know you can win now with him, and you can do it for a few years. So it's. I know it sounds like it's risky because you're not looking towards the future, but it also actually gives you the best chance to win right now if you're the New York Giants.
It gives you the best chance to win right now, but here's the other reality that I don't think you've admitted yet, Sean, which I understand, and I think this is why you're going to disagree with me. If you trade for Matthew Stafford, okay, and you extend Matthew Stafford,
which sounds like it's going to be necessary.
Right. You got to do both, right? You're going to give up an asset, and on top of that, you're going to sign him to a 3-year, $150 million deal, 104 of it's guaranteed, whatever, right? With some void years at the end, however you want to mark it up. If you do that, I'm telling you right now, you are not drafting a quarterback at number three. You can lock that crap up. And I'll tell you right now, you're not drafting a quarterback in the second round. You can lock that crap up.
Okay.
So if you're looking for the both, if you're looking for the future and the veteran, which is what I would be looking for, you are not getting that if you trade and extend Matthew Stafford. So before you anybody gives an opinion on this, we need to come to that reality that you're not drafting a quarterback this year and you are marrying Matthew Stafford for, at the minimum, 3 years. Maybe two, but probably three.
I disagree with that still, but it's also not my biggest disagreement.
Which part?
If the top two quarterbacks are still there at three.
No shot.
Okay. I'm just saying.
No, they will not take one, even if they're both there. T, do you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Thank you.
Okay. I think that the Packers are a pretty good example of why that's still probably a pretty good plan to do
that. Yeah, but the Packers were a good team that they had some young talent already. It just, I don't see the Giants being able to bypass their other needs to double up on quarterback.
Maybe not. Maybe not. And I'm not.
It's not maybe not. It's not not.
Okay.
Can you at least confirm that?
Yes. And then I'm going to confirm that you're going to have to give a not.
You're admitting that they are eliminating the possibility of drafting a young quarterback once they acquire Matthew Stafford.
In the example I gave, I will not eliminate that. But here's your not.
You're going to have to take another L today.
No. This is where you're going to take an L.
Okay. I got no L to take.
I think that we need to all have an uncomfortable conversation as Giants fans or IFOs here. And that is the idea of. The idea of trading draft capital for Matt Stafford, if you're uncomfortable for that, be prepared. Because the caveat is, one way or another this offseason, I would put it at 85%, the likelihood is the Giants are trading draft capital to secure their quarterback. Because they are sitting at three overall. There are two quarterbacks at the ire of the eye. They need, as an organization, to have a plan in place. Either it is the best possible extension of Matt Stafford, or it is we need a franchise quarterback here. Signing 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, we have no idea what his health is going to be, is not going to stop them and go, we don't need to do anything at three. We could wait and see if a quarterback falls.
Right.
I believe if they don't trade for Matt Stafford, they're probably, in all likelihood, still trading draft capital up to the Titans or Browns. And how much more uncomfortable does that make people?
No, yeah. I think that, but that's more of what you should be doing because you're looking for your future quarterback.
I think you'd have, if Matt Stafford's off the table, I think the Giants probably are going to do that.
Right. So, but are you comfortable trading a future one to do that? Or are you more comfortable extending and trading, two or three?
So here's the risk on that, because if you're drafting number one overall, he better be that guy.
Yep.
And if he is that guy, you don't care about your next year's number one pick, right? Mm-hmm. You're not looking for a quarterback next year. So it doesn't matter where you pick, type of thing. You know what I mean? So I think it's a little bit different if the Giants go to one and take one of these quarterbacks, probably Cam Ward, number one overall.
Right.
And it seems like there's an appetite, just listening to the combine noise, that the Tennessee Titans are willing to do that because they're willing to trade out. Because they do have Will Levis on roster, but they don't want to go back, way, way back. And the Giants are right there, right? They're three. They're only two behind them. So we trade, we get a future asset, and we only go back two slots. I mean, that's win-win for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, absolutely. I think the Titans are one of those rarities. Usually when a team talks about trading back, it's like hot air.
Yeah.
Like there really isn't a reality to it. I do think there's some reality to it. There is a risk in trading up for a young quarterback, of course. But I think the reward on it is so much higher than a 37-year-old quarterback who at most you're talking about a three-year window.
Yeah, but three-year window. 3 years can be really valuable.
And can change a lot for the franchise.
100%, especially if it's consistent winning and making the playoffs, which Matt Stafford, given the right roster around him, should be able to do. Now, the challenge with Matt Stafford is that there is a team above the Giants, cap space-wise, like $50 million in cap space that more likely than not are going to be interested in him as well. And that's also the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
right? They have $95 million in cap
Giants
space.
Giants have competition for him, no doubt.
They have a lot of monetary competition to just sign him, trade him, and then sign him. But also, where does Matt Stafford want to be?
Absolutely.
Because it feels like when you listen to what Sean McVay said, that he's not going to put this in quotes, screw Matt Stafford, like he did Jared Goff.
Yes. And by the way, we will hear from Sean McVay, because what he did the other day, and I think it's worth all of our time, especially if we're investing our time talking about Matthew Stafford, is to hear what the head coach of the LA Rams said about the Stafford situation. It was fascinating because of how honest he was. Mm-hmm. So coming up at about 2:45, we will hear from Sean McVay and certainly get to interpret a lot more of what their plan is. I believe that there are ceilings and there are basements. Trading up for the unknown in Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders offers, obviously, a greater basement than Matthew Stafford. But it also gives you a higher ceiling, because the runway could be 15 years of quarterback play. Now, Matthew Stafford is tremendous, and he's a future Hall of Famer. I am not denouncing what this man has accomplished or poo-pooing it. I think if the Giants were in a different situation, I'd be on the radio talking him up. I just don't think you're in the situation to trade for Matthew Stafford. So when you ask and you frame it, Sean, as, all right, you're going to have to trade a pick to move up to get this quarterback, or you're going to have to trade a pick to get the rights to trade or sign Matthew Stafford, you're right. I, at this point, as a Giant fan, would be more interested in doing it for the young guy who gives me more runway to win than a guy who's 37 and doesn't move well coming off of injuries.
I applaud that opinion.
Thank you.
I don't necessarily fully disagree with that opinion. If you're asking me to pick, I'm just saying we cannot have this conversation for the rest of the show and have Giant fans calling and going, I'm not trading assets for Matt Stafford, while ignoring that you're going to probably have to do it for the other solution.
We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019, and we'll hear from Sean McVay as well, because he was very forthright about this entire situation. So you tell me when you want me to do this, but in the middle of the night, I woke up in a cold sweat, and I came up with a brilliant NFL rule idea compromise.
Oh,
I don't know why it hit me in the middle of the night, but sometimes, like, I go to sleep thinking about how everybody argues with each other, not just in politics, but in sports. Sometimes there are compromises that are just so simple. And you may not love the compromise, because that's the point of a compromise. You're meeting somewhere in the middle. But it hit me last night at about 2:45 in the morning. I woke up in a cold sweat. Mm-hmm. I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. And here's what I will tell you. And you guys let me know when you want me to break it to you. It's a compromise between NFL owners and the NFL Players Association that could get us to an 18th game.
18th game.
I thought of a compromise that would make the players say, okay, and we all get to an 18th game.
It's happening anyways, but so just tell us.
Oh, you want me to tell you now?
Yes.
All right, you ready for this?
Yes, let me hear it.
Don't yell at me. You got to think about it, because your first reaction is to hate it.
Didn't we have a compromise yesterday about the pass interference rule?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, well, you and I are good at compromise.
Yeah, we are.
So the owners want an 18th game. The players are like, hey, CBA, we got to reopen this. What are we talking about? We eliminate overtime in the regular season.
I don't hate that.
We now have ties in the NFL. And here's how it works.
Now, so how do you mitigate the ties at the end of the season? That's the only thing.
Okay, I will answer that. So
we're going to do a point system like the English Premier League or European soccer?
Or the NHL?
Or the NHL. But the NHL's is weird. It's like 2 points for a win.
Well, that's because they added the overtime loss. Yeah. Like, it used to just be a tie. Here's a point.
Right. In soccer, it's 3 points for a win.
Right.
One for a tie if it ends in a tie. And then nothing if you lose.
Right. So there are a few layers on why this makes so much sense. Number one. If you are the owners, you're telling the players, look, player safety, we are eliminating the amount of minutes you have to play football. Remember, a few years ago, they moved overtime from 15 minutes to 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you're playing a whole nother game.
I understand.
Go ahead.
But I'm just saying this is part of the compromise.
Okay, let's
hear. So number one, player safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, from a TV perspective, this is a TV show. Do they really want a lot of the 1 o'clock games running into
the
4 o'clock window?
That's a great point.
So number two, you kind of fix the TV issue. As a fan, can I tell you the perk of it?
Let me hear it.
I love the NFL. Don't we all get headaches from NFL tiebreak situations? They're very, very confusing. We're sitting here in December.
But isn't this going to create more tiebreak situations?
Not at all.
Why?
Because how many overtime games were there last year? If you had to guess. I have the answer, by the way. But
I'm going to say 12.
You say 12. How many do you say, Sean? You got a guess?
Four.
You say four. How about you, Loogie?
I'm going to go 20.
Okay. Tiki and Loogie are actually, they have half a brains. Sean was way off. There were 16 ties. So you guys were kind of in the middle.
Hey.
So 16 overtimes, which means there'd be 16 ties, right?
Perfect overbid, underbid.
There you go. That's really not, it's not like a team is going to finish, you know, 5-5-8 or anything like that.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that many ties. So what it does is instead of 10-7, 10-7, there's going to be a 9-6-1.
But you're also, depending on, just to interrupt you for a brief second, you're also going to get more head coaches. You score the game-tying touchdown pending the extra point.
Oh, going for two?
Just go for two.
Depends your situation.
Right.
Late in the season, you may say, I benefit from the tie. Yeah. I'm just kicking the extra point.
True, but it's going to change strategy a little bit at the end of game.
It does change strategies, which you could argue is more exciting. Right. But I think the fan benefit is the tiebreakers will just become less confusing because there will be less need for them when ties are thrown into the equation, and now you got half games where clearly, and I apologize, I added it to 17. Obviously, we're moving to an 18-game schedule.
Right, right, right.
So 10-7-1 versus, you know, I got to do more math, 9-9. I don't know. You know what I mean? The point is,
so 10-7-1
versus 10-8.
10-8. Yeah.
Yeah. 10-8 versus 10-7-1.
Right. 10-8 versus 10-7-1.
Yeah.
The 10-7-1.
Yeah.
Makes the playoffs.
Of course. So it makes the tiebreak situation less confusing. I want to make this clear before you guys respond. This is a compromise. I'm not telling you I love it. I'm saying this is a way to meet in the middle with the players and the owners.
I actually don't hate this.
Thank you, Tiki.
As much as you thought I would, I actually kind of like the idea of regular season games not having to be concluded.
And you know why I think you like it? Because deep down, there was a long history of NFL action in which there wasn't overtime. Overtime is a relatively new invention.
Oh, yeah, my first year.
No, we had overtime in your first year. I think it started in like 1970-something.
I know, but I'm saying we finished the game in a tie, though.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Got you.
Right? But Fossil was 10-6-1. Or 10-5-1 or whatever it was. I feel we had a tie definitely that year. I think because we tied Washington.
Right, but you had to play a complete overtime to get to that tie.
That's true.
I'm suggesting we just get rid of overtime and we have it. And by the way, I looked it up real quick, 1974. So when you really think about it, it is sort of recent.
Mm.
What do you guys think of my brilliant compromise?
You know why I'm more in for it?
Because you're a player.
Because of soccer.
Oh, okay.
Because I've gotten used to ties. And in fact, you kind of root for it. It's better to lose 2 points as opposed to three.
No, I got you.
I don't even know how to not strangle you. I hate it so much.
It's not that bad.
Can I just explain something?
Go ahead.
And Tiki, this is actually not a shot at soccer. I actually think part of the pie of why a lot of American sports fans haven't gravitated to soccer is the idea that there's so many ties.
Right, but also they also play 38 club games, so...
I understand why.
You can't go into 90-plus minutes forever.
And we're adding an 18th game. We're getting closer to that, aren't we?
There's a couple things that you guys hit on. Number one, I actually think the league is gravitated towards what Tiki was alluding to anyway. I would venture to guess there would be way more overtimes, if not for coaches being more aggressive at the end and not wanting overtime like Tiki had said. So I don't think that's necessarily a factor. But Evan, I sat there for Giants Commanders in that stadium a couple of years ago and watched a tie unfold. And to this day, any sporting event I've ever been to, and this includes some hockey ties back then, I've never had a more empty feeling and didn't know. I felt like I wasted my time for 7 hours that I was at a game like
Why?
That. It's a horrible feeling in the stadium. It's just like, oh, we committed all day to getting fired up for something, and I don't even get like the agony of loss or the like thrill of. It's just a. I'm telling you, it's a feeling you don't want as a
You're being very
fan.
Selfish
you
in
hate
responding
the letdown?
To this.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I hate. And I would also say this, like, there's
wah,
only.
Wah.
But think about it. There's only so many ties in the NFL every couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Now you're asking me to have like 20 ties in the
I know, but you're
horrible.
Your entire answer was about how it makes you feel.
Well, because
I worded this as this is a compromise.
Well,
it's not perfect.
No, no, no.
It's a way to get to an 18th game. And oh, by the way, there are some small benefits that come out of it. You just made it all about yourself. I expected that from Tommy, not as much you.
Because put yourself in the, take your IFO and be a fan for a second.
I am a fan. What do you think I'm not? I got to pretend.
Little spoiler alert for Roger Goodell in the NFL. And I know it's all about money. Fans aren't clamoring for an 18th game. Half of us didn't even want 17 games. We love the 16 game setup. So now you have the fan. You think that many fans are clamoring for it? They're not. They're going to be even more pissed when they find out they have a lot more empty feelings and you don't even get the thrilling overtime moments. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. If that's the solution, then don't go to an 18th game. No fan wants it anyway.
I think Tommy likes the idea, right, Tommy?
Not really. But I don't like ties, period. I like the college overtime rules. This is this is a bigger discussion for another day.
Ugh.
The product in the NFL stinks. And I think that we have to make it a little bit more exciting. I think there's a lot of reasons why we are locked in on it. Number one, gambling. But the product itself is not as good as it used to be. And I think the overtime, it's just another quarter of bad football. If you do the overtime rules in college, it forces the action. It builds up more drama, in my opinion. You have the two-point conversions things that they've added in the last couple years.
Yeah, but
so I like that more for
the
overtime.
The problem
rules.
With that, with the college overtime, you talk about gambling becoming a big, big issue. All of a sudden, the over-unders become impossible. Right.
Well, issue, I mean, it's. I think that's why we're so locked in, and we excuse the product going down because we love gambling on it and watching it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, I know what you're saying, but over-unders in college football are
oh, they're ridiculous.
Stupid.
Yeah, the numbers are crazy.
All of a sudden, there's like five touchdowns.
But it's exciting, the overtime in college, in my opinion.
It's definitely interesting, but it doesn't help the compromise idea I said, which is how do we get to an 18th game? It doesn't help that. It's an interesting idea.
Actually, that makes
but it doesn't
worse.
Help it.
That makes it worse. When
exactly.
Oh, I went further away.
Yeah, he took my
compromise. So then I hate your idea. I don't want to compromise.
Now you're playing like potentially five more possessions.
Yes.
That you don't help the cause.
No, both of you didn't help. Only Tiki did. Both of you.
What?
Just.
I kind of dig that.
Tiki digs it. We have an update.
I think they should institute that anyway.
Thank you very much.
Forget the 18th game. Let's do it now.
Let's just get rid of overtime. We'll give you a Matthew Stafford update in the next 5 minutes. But let's get to some of your calls, including Josh in the Bronx. How are you, Josh?
Oh, yes, hey, Evan. I'm doing great.
What's up, man?
Okay, I hope this update is not that the Giants are getting Matthew Stafford. I just want to start off by saying Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he is a great quarterback. It ends right there, then and there. With Matthew Stafford in terms of the New York Giants.
Why do you hate him?
And I don't hate him. He's actually on my fantasy team. He's my starting quarterback. I watch every single game of his this year. The problem is that he does not fit in the Giants scheme. And the reason is, and the sole reason is because he is immobile. He cannot move. Mm. And the Giants offensive line is horrendous. So he is going to be an Aaron Rodgers 2.0 for the Giants. He's going to get hurt probably in game one or game two. He's going to just be throwing the ball at the lineman's feet to avoid the sack.
It is a fair concern. If the Giants aren't fixing their offensive line, he is not exactly equipped to run around and make plays with his legs.
And it gets harder because you're paying Matthew Stafford a new contract.
Yeah.
So free agency is going to be a little bit of a bear.
Absolutely. I think he brings up some more fair points to why Stafford to the Giants is not the best idea.
It's a tangent conversation, but the evolution of the quarterback it's on us now.
Yes.
Like if you don't have that ability to athleticize your quarterback play, it becomes very easy for defenses to hem that guy in, you know, and then force him to just be in the pocket. And that's a competitive disadvantage if you don't have a quarterback who can move a little bit these days.
And he can't.
Right.
And he's 37. Harry's in Clifton. What's up, Harry?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First off, I just want to say, longtime Giants fan, Tiki, I think you should be in the Hall of Fame.
I appreciate that.
So I am dead against this Stafford coming to the Giants. First off, I don't believe you should trade draft capital for a 37-year-old quarterback who's going to be a statue behind the offensive line. Who's, again, that last caller said it, is horrendous. Plus, he had better talent with the Rams. I say, let's go for a Justin Fields or a, the guy from Seattle who went to Pittsburgh.
Russell Wilson.
As a stopgap, let's hope one of the quarterbacks fall to us. And listen, I'm not sold on Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I really like this kid, Jackson Dart, from Ole Miss.
Jackson Dart's gaining a lot of steam, Tink.
I mean, he is. He's going to go in the first round. Like, the more we get closer to, not the draft, but you know, we're in the combine right now. I don't know how much he's going to work out. I'm sure he will. But Jackson Dart's going to be one of those post-combine risers. You can feel it happening already. Because people are interested in his swagger. He's got talent, obviously, because he broke all of Eli's records down at Ole Miss. So you know he's a good quarterback. He's got a swagger about him, this ego. I don't mean that in a bad way, but this ego that you need for a starting quarterback. And he is a little bit athletic. He's going to be the riser that everybody talks about.
Oh, no doubt. You can already sense it. Here's your update on Matthew Stafford. We'll hear from Sean McVay in just a few minutes. He was very forthcoming about the Rams and what they're dealing with and detailing the situation with Stafford. According to Jordan Schultz, Tom Brady hosted Matthew Stafford at his home in Montana.
Of course he did.
Where they spent time together.
Remember that team that I said has the real shot at Matt Stafford?
Oh, yeah.
It's the Las Vegas Raiders with their $95 million in cap space.
And their $100 million broadcaster, who also happens to own part of the team. But according to Jordan, Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford spent time together in Montana. Brady has been actively trying to convince Stafford to join the Raiders, and while together, they went skiing, which sounds like
the dumbest idea
humanly possible, because all it takes is one bad turn and his ACL falls off.
Right.
Like, if I'm the Rams and I hear that Matthew, forget about hanging out with Tom Brady, who cares? If I hear that Matthew Stafford is skiing... Come on.
It's also tampering.
No, they gave permission.
No. They gave his agent permission to seek a trade and contract extension. They didn't give Matt Stafford personal permission to go skiing with Tom Brady and go to his house in Montana for dinner.
This is such a gray area with Tom Brady in the NFL
He's a broadcaster.
He's a team owner, and he's hanging out with a potential trade candidate?
Yeah. We just played Joe Shane yesterday.
Something's wrong with that.
Who couldn't say
I can't like pinpoint exactly why that's not okay, but something is definitely wrong with that.
Yeah. I think, though, there's a lot of layers to this. I think the first layer that you brought up, Sean, the tampering thing, I'm going to make an assumption. And I understand when you make an assumption, you're an ass. I'm going to make the assumption that if the Rams are giving Stafford and his agent permission to talk to other teams about a contract, they're also giving the permission to hang out and cuddle up with Tom Brady. So I'm just making that assumption that this isn't some egregious thing. If it comes out that they didn't give permission, then sure, it's egregious. I mean, what's going on? But I'm going to believe that if they're allowing Stafford to explore his options, they're also allowing him to talk and hang out with an owner of another team.
So before you make your next point, so just to be clear, yesterday at the Combine, Joe Shane is not allowed to confirm or deny.
Well, that's not true. That was Joe Shane's choice to say that.
Yeah.
Joe Shane decided, I'm keeping things close to the vest. It wasn't necessarily the league mandating it. Joe Shane decided.
He played it smart, and he just played coy.
Yeah. I would actually say neither similar.
Neither confirming nor denying.
It's similar to what the Jets did about Aaron Rodgers. They had every right to say he stinks. They chose not to. So I wouldn't draw the conclusion that the Raiders were tampering based on Joe Shane's approach to the media. That just may have been Joe Shane's approach.
Yeah, I think he conveniently used the tampering idea, even though it was not brought up at all, to not have to discuss it.
Yeah, because I think Joe Shane learned a little bit of a lesson from last year, and that's less is more.
Yes.
Because they were involved, as you may recall, in a television program called Offseason Hard Knocks. And I think Joe Shane's approach, rightfully so, is, you know what? I ain't giving you anything. I ain't giving you a damn thing.
Right.
But my biggest takeaway, if you believe this story, is that Matthew Stafford went skiing. Like, would you go skiing during the offseason too?
No.
Thank you.
No, Slooper. You just get off one ski and all of a sudden you're going right at a tree and you try to dodge it and you just hit the tree. You break your leg.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck are you doing?
If I'm the Rams, I'm pissed off. I'm thinking I'm getting a second or third round pick for the guy. The guy is one ski accident away from you getting nothing for him.
Yeah. Yeah, but they have like kiddie hills you can go on. You don't have to go on the adult hill.
Is that what you think they were doing?
Stafford's going on the bunny hill.
Yeah.
I would be if I was Matthew Stafford.
Are you Matthew Stafford?
No, but I'm a human that fears hitting a tree, so I would think that he would probably, I have this great career, this great family, I'm not going to risk it by skiing.
No, I think there's a better chance of Matthew Stafford. I got nothing. I was going to use an analogy. I decided to back off. It was not an appropriate analogy around Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady, so I decided to put it away. We'll use it another time. We'll come back with more of your calls, plus we'll hear from Sean McVay, because he was very honest about the situation right now in Los Angeles with Matthew Stafford. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number.